Right, the Bible reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 to 24. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Thank you.
So, we urge you. I had to look up what urge meant.
It's a word we don't use very often, is it?
But it also is often linked with something heavy. We urge you. It's urgent, isn't it? And it is. It's to gently persuade. But persistently and earnestly. So, I'm going to test you again. Blessing in community. What were the three? I'm going to keep doing this till you get it right. So you might as well learn it, because otherwise this is how we're going to start every Sunday. So blessing in community. Community with God. What's the next one? Community with each other. So you do know it. And community with?
Community.
That's right. So we've done some of community with God, and we're going to keep doing all of these, just so you know. But we're looking today of community with each other again. Because this time I want to ask you, what do you think it means to love each other? Not getting off to a good start here, guys. But you see, actually, I did expect that reaction, because we say it all the time, don't we? Love one another. But do you actually know what that means on a daily basis? I mean, when you actually sit down and think about it, what does it mean to love? You can think of all the things you could do for someone, but what is God talking about? Because God loves you. So what does it mean for you to love each other?
Accept everyone for all their faults.
Accept everyone for all their faults. It's easy to say, isn't it? Is it easy to do? No. Putting up with them. How many times do you have, you're in a conversation with someone and you can feel the heckles going up on your back?
Hello.
It's life, isn't it? Come on, let's be real about this. We do not get on with everyone, okay? No, you don't get on with me, definitely not. Poor Alison, she's tortured on a weekly basis. But this passage is asking us to warn those who are idle. That's the first statement. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. How would you feel if somebody else in this room came up to you and went, I don't think you're doing enough? How would that make you feel? I'm asking, genuinely, don't look at me with blank faces. You should know by now, I don't let you just sit there. How does that make you feel? Honestly, yeah, ugh. What else?
Guilty.
It might be true. You'd have to go away and think about it. You're far gracious, more gracious than most of us, though. That's what I was asking for. The initial reaction is to poke him in the eye. Now, who of us, honestly, that was your first reaction? Yeah. Okay, we need to start being real about this stuff, because unless we're real about it, we can't do anything about it. Because God asks us not to behave like that. And he does doesn't, we're a new creation. We've just sang that we are a new creation in God. Our old us wants to poke them in the eye. Okay, let's be honest. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like people pointing out our faults, do we? But that... Okay. Excellent. Sid, you should be up preaching this then. We need to be honest about how we feel about things. We need, God already knows how you feel about it. So you're sitting there going, I need to find something positive. I don't like to admit there's a negative. God already knows what you've thought. God already knows you really want to poke him in the eye. God already knows that you want to walk away, get cross, never speak to that person ever again, right? Why would I want to speak to you? All you do is pick out my faults. So I'm going to ask you and challenge you to try and change that. Because you don't have to do it by yourself, because God is there wanting to work in you and do it anyway. Okay? So the more time you spend with God, the easier this will get. But there's a couple of raised eyebrows, I saw that. I'm not so sure about that, Naomi. There's something else we've got to do, though. We've got to spend time together. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to give you all permission to go up to everybody and anyone and go, guess what your fault is? Because that's not how it works either. This is coming from a place of loving someone so much that you don't want to see them living outside what God has for them. Does that make sense? God has a vision for your life. God has a path for you to walk. God has an amazing adventure for Springfield Park. We need to get this bit right, because this is the bit that is contrary to out there. What marks society at the moment, do you think? What are the things that... Pardon? Blame. We have a blame culture. It's your fault, not mine. Now, Alison and I had a very interesting conversation in the office last week where we were looking at Genesis. And that is what is instantly said once Adam is confronted by God. So God says, did you eat from the tree? And Adam goes, she did it! We have a blame culture. That is through the fall. We do that because we are sinful, which kind of tells me we shouldn't be doing it. So to contradict that, we should be a people who stand up and go, you know what, I messed up and I'm sorry. Not comfortable, that, is it? It's not easy to do that. But I'd like it to become easy around here. Because if we love one another, when somebody turns around and says, I'm really sorry I messed up, you don't then start having a go at them. You then start saying, that's okay. Let's put this right together. Used to that kind of idea? Good. You can show everyone else then. We're talking about a counterculture. God calls us to be a new creation, something that we've not been previously. So blame culture. What else would you describe our society as? Sorry?
Throw away.
Throw away. You don't serve what I want you to do anymore. Off you go. We do it with possessions. We do it with people. You are not meeting my needs anymore, therefore I'm not going to be with you anymore. We have a culture that's throw away. And it can be church too. You know, let's not shy away from this. We can turn around and go, you know what, that church doesn't serve what I want anymore. Go somewhere else. There's a big choice. But where is it God wants you to be? What people does God want you to be with? Which church does God want you to be in? There is no perfect church. Has anyone heard the saying, if you find a perfect church, leave because you're about to mess it up? Nobody is perfect. And church, genuine God-driven church, is a mess. It's not neat and tidy. It isn't comfortable. And we, as a family, are in that together. And that's what loving each other means. For us to be together and real. If you've had a really bad week, you've had a bad week. Don't hide it. Let people help you. Because we're supposed to encourage one another. So this passage has said, we urge you. We really want you to do this. We want you to say, you're not doing what God has asked you to do. And we say it in love, not in a, you are wrong. It's a, you're being a little bit disruptive. Let me help you. What is upsetting you? What is driving you to not want to be part of this? You don't shut them out. You don't make them feel bad. And all of this comes from relationship, at spending time together, knowing one another. So that when you hear that said to you, you know that person loves you and is only saying it for your best interest. Now, those of you that are married in the room will know that's not easy. Because when you live with someone day in, day out, you can't hide, can you? They know your faults. Mark's looking at me very intently. They know your faults. But when they point them out, that can rile slightly, can't it? Because what's our immediate reaction? Yeah, but you... Let me get the list out. It's human nature. We do it naturally. But actually, next time someone says something to you and your heckles go up and you want to poke them in the eye, I'd like you to take a moment. I'd like you to take that deep breath and go, God, what are you showing me here? Are you telling me there is something I need to change? Or is this person in need of something that I can help with? I'm warning you, that's not easy. And it will take time. But we have God on our side. And he is making us a new creation. So when you're singing, the old is gone, the new creation's here, this is it. This is what it's talking about. You don't sit where you are because God wants something better for you. So having told you that you're to warn each other about idleness and disruption, our passage moves on to encourage the disheartened. So like I said, take a breath. Is God telling you something? Or is God revealing something about the person who is speaking to you? Are they pointing out your failures because actually they need somebody to come alongside and encourage them? Now, that is not going to be your original thought. This takes practice. Ask Mark later. It takes practice. It goes on, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now we can get on with encouraging the disheartened, do you think? That's not such a difficult one, is it? Really? Help the weak. Yeah, I can do that. It's productive. I can feel good about myself. Be patient with everyone. Really? Everyone? Surely there's someone I'm allowed to lose my temper with. Surely somebody can irritate me. See, you've got to remember, I can see. Surely, God doesn't really mean everybody, does he? Yeah, he does. Everybody. Because God is patient with you. How many times have you messed up what God's asked you to do? I know I've got loads. Don't know about you. God has been so patient with me. I can think of a number of times on the journey to get here. God is patient with us at all times. And as his family, we are called to do the same. So next time someone irritates you, remember 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Be patient with everyone. And then we go back to correction again. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong with wrong. So we're going between correction and encouragement. So we need to warn those who are idols and disruptive, but we need to encourage and help and be patient. But then we need to make sure that nobody pays back wrong from wrong. That's our instinct, isn't it? You hurt me. You were mean to me. You said nasty things about me. Therefore, I can do it back to you because you deserve it. Unusual thought? We all have them. And if you don't, please come and pray for me later. Because God is saying, this is who you were, but this is who I'd like you to be. I'd like you, when somebody does you wrong, to give them love and care back. And I'll tell you right now, when you do it, it works. I mean, it really works. So the names have changed to protect the guilty and innocent. There was a lady who disliked me considerably and would often be really, really rude to me and was mean to me and my family. She reported our family for a number of things we didn't do and caused quite a lot of trouble. And I remember screaming at God, what have I done to her? I don't even know her. I don't know what I've done. I don't know what, you know, could I please throw a brick through her window? Could I? Because she didn't live far from us. And I worked out I could go across, throw a brick and come back and she probably wouldn't know it was me. First instinct, I want to attack. You're attacking me constantly. I don't understand why. And God said, be patient and kind. Really? To her? Anyone else? Pick anyone else but her, really? So, with gritted teeth, I went, every morning I saw her, I went, morning. With a nice smile and a cheery face. Every single morning. And it got easier. Morning. How are you? Morning. This went on for 10 years. Okay? Now it would be great if I could turn around to you and go, yes, we became the best of friends. We didn't become the best of friends. But I didn't want to throw a brick through a window anymore. because I actually learnt quite a lot about her through the fact that I stopped wanting to react to her. And actually, other people started commenting to her how nasty she was to me, because everyone saw me go, "Morning," and she ignored me. But for me, God worked in me. Like I say, it'd be a great story if I could tell you she became my best friend. She didn't. But me, God worked in me through all I did was go, "Morning." And sometimes I get sworn at or completely ignored, but I knew God wanted me to keep saying good morning. But it changed me. I don't know what it did to her. It'd be great if I did. But for me, I started to learn God wants something better for me. Because actually, when we start feeling bad and having a go at people, we damage us. We make our soul uncomfortable because we are children of God and have the Holy Spirit in us. And he doesn't like it when you're nasty to each other. So the Holy Spirit grows in you and you change. And it can be as simple as, "Morning." Like I say, God didn't ask me to be her best friend. He just asked me to be nice. And it's surprising what a difference that can make. Because it's contrary to what people expect. And they start going, "Why are you not nasty to her?" "Well, God loves her just like he loves me." "Really? Now there's something radical, eh?" So we need to understand one another. We need to spend time in relationship with one another. We need to be able to talk to one another. Now, I'm not saying you're to tell all your woes and all your faults to every single member of the church. I'm not going to call you up here and go, "Right, what faults have you had this week? Let us all minister to you." It's not how it works. That's not what I'm talking about. But we should have people in our lives who have permission to say, "You really didn't do well in that situation. Do you think we should talk about it, pray about it, read about it?" This is what it means to really love one another. We always need to strive to do what is good for each other. That is what stands us apart from the world outside. That is what shows them God's love. When we love each other so much that we can come alongside, encourage and go, "You know what? I know you can do better. I know you can have this easier because God promises you that. Let me help." And when someone does that, your heckles don't go up and you don't want to poke them in the eye. And your first instinct is, "I know this person loves and cares for me and wants me to be a better person." You willing to give it a go? Couple of very tentative nods. No? No more than a couple of tentative nods. I'll take that. Because I know God can grow it. Because actually, the more we do it, the more we become like God, and the more we become that new creation we've just been singing about. And that is what it means to love one another. To love each other enough to spend time together, doing things, living life together, so that when either we're having a hard time or we're messing up, that person can say to us, "Let me help when you're struggling," or, "I need to correct your behaviour in what you're doing. That wasn't a nice way to handle that." And instead of wanting to poke him in the eye, we go, "Thank you. Thank you for helping me to be better than I am. That's a struggle, isn't it? But it also comes from, how do we talk to one another? Now, this is the one I struggle with. I am really bad at tone in my voice. I'm also aware I am really sarcastic sometimes. You might have noticed.
Sarcasm is a form of wit.
It's the lowest, apparently. I have always been sarcastic. There was a group of us doing theology studies together who had a discussion one lunchtime about whether or not there'd be sarcasm in heaven. Because if there's not sarcasm in heaven, therefore it's a sin. So was sarcasm a sin or not? So it was quite an interesting debate until one of the leaders of the church walked past and said, if it is, it's going to be flippy quiet with you lot, and just carried on walking. How do we speak to one another? I don't personally think sarcasm's a sin, unless it hurts someone. Now, Alison and I are majorly sarcastic with each other.
No.
But also, we have the relationship, I think. For those that can't see on camera, Alison is now shaking her head. Where, if that became hurtful, we'd say something. So we'd say, actually, that was out of line. Can you, you know, that was too close to the mark. Would you like to back off a bit? We've got that relationship. She's nodding now. That could have gone bad, couldn't it? That could have gone a bit nasty. But this is the thing. Do you know the person that you're being sarcastic with? Enough to know you're not hurting them. And do you use it to hurt them? Because we all know that sarcasm can be exceedingly painful. It can be that remark that when someone goes, "Ooh," you could go, "Oh, I was just kidding." This is a good rule of thumb. If you say something and you feel you need to say, "I was only kidding," you weren't. Either you weren't, or you know that they're not going to find that funny. These are all small things. And you might be thinking, what's she standing up there talking about this for on a Sunday morning? We're supposed to be learning about God. These are the things that count. These are the things that can hurt someone. When we share our opinion, do we do it in a gentle way of, this is what I believe? Or do we present it as a fait accompli and this is the truth? And if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. Two ways of sharing the same thing, one being the right way and one being the wrong way. There is nothing wrong with two people having two separate opinions on something. How you interact and behave with each other does. Now, you may think you're completely right. That's your prerogative. I'm a little bit more wary, having been in ministry as long as I have, that it's all very well standing up here going, "I know the truth." And then 2 months later, God goes, "Do you? Because actually, I'm going to tell you you've got it wrong." I can only share with you what God asks me to share with you. But it's also fine for you to come up to me at coffee and go, "You know what, Naomi, I'm not sure I agree with you." That's fine. Let's have a cup of coffee and a chat. Because actually, you might be just about to reveal something to me I really need to hear. So when somebody says that to you, is that what you think? When somebody says, "I don't really agree with you," do you puff up like a puffer fish and go, "Hang on a minute"? Or do you think, "I need to listen to this, I might learn something"? It all comes from our attitude. comes from where we are and what we're thinking. And in order for us to be a loving community where we can invite people in who have broken lives, because guess what, so do we, we need to be real with one another. But we need to love one another and understand what that means. We speak with respect. We listen with respect. And we walk life honestly and with respect. It's a bit big, isn't it? So I'm going to challenge you for this week just to think of one thing you're going to try and do. So maybe you meet somebody on the way to the corner shop every day who is just not nice. I'd like you to say good morning. Maybe you're living with someone who winds you up and you're going to try and do something nice each day to show that you care. To change an atmosphere. So where there's an atmosphere within a home or within a workplace, I'd like you to do one thing that you think might change it. Is there that guy or girl at work who's always trying to be better than you? Try helping them out so they will be next time. You'd be surprised the effect it has. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to be in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This is solid stuff. I'm taking you off the milk. We're getting on to solids. Are you up for that? Good. Bit more than a few tentative nods that time, I'm pleased to hear. Just one thing. Try one thing this week that you know in your behaviour isn't quite right. Just one. And as I say, it could be as simple as saying good morning. It could be as easy as buying someone a cup of coffee who you struggle with. It could be sitting and talking to someone you haven't done for a while. There's small things, big things. See where you are. See what God is asking you to do. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at the effect it has on you. So with that, I think the best place is to go back to worship.